Well, happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean Folks, and I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus, and we continued this past week in our adulting series where we've been talking about eternal life hacks from the book of Proverbs. And, you know, life hacks, as we've said, are just ways to make life more simple. And Solomon says, if we will use wisdom, the kind that comes from God, wisdom is doing life God's way, that it'll make our spiritual lives more simple. It'll simplify things for us. And at Lewis Center, we've kind of been focusing on this idea that your roads are what determine your reality, that you can intend on going one way, but roads lead to certain specific destinations. So we say that direction always trumps intention. We looked at the very familiar proverb, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And the first part of the next verse is critical. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. There's a specific Hebrew phrase there that means to prop up against something. Our terminology, we said, would be like a crutch. And I know that there's a myth out there that exists in our culture that says, you know what, Christianity is really just a crutch. It's a crutch for weak-minded people. But what we talked about is this idea that everybody has a crutch, that we all have something that we lean on. And we talked about just an example of that. We talked about the life of Jacob. And, you know, Jacob, when he comes to the end of his life, when he's finally coming home, that he's wrestled with his brother Esau ever since they were born. They were twins coming out of the womb. They were wrestling. They wrestled together over the birthright. They wrestled over who was going to control the property and family name and all those things. And so Jacob splits up his wives and kids and servants and sends them two different directions. And he spends the night alone the night before he's going to meet Esau, who's coming out to meet him with a big pack, a posse full of men. And so he's really afraid. And that night, a man comes along to his camp and they wrestle. And during the night, as they wrestle back and forth and back and forth, Jacob refuses to let go. And what we learn from the passage is that it's just not anybody that Jacob is wrestling with. He's actually wrestling with God. And the only way that God is going to prevail is that he touches Jacob's hip. And for the rest of his life, Jacob is going to, he's going to walk with a limp because of that. And Jacob asked him, he said, tell me your name. And of course, the angel says, why do you want to know my name? And he blesses Jacob. And as a portion of the blessing, what he does is he changes Jacob's name from Jacob, which means trickster, deceiver, huckster, kind of a guy, to Israel. And the whole idea is that Jacob becomes a God-reliant person instead of being self-reliant. And so we really talked about two things out of that reality that help us lean not on our own understanding. One thing that was really important for Jacob is that he met God alone. And, you know, for a lot of people, I think they struggle in their Christianity because their relationship with God is an environmental relationship. Wrestling is very personal. What I mean by that is some people, they'll be part of a great youth group, but when they go off to college, their Christianity disappears. Or some people get involved with a campus ministry in college and it's great, but when they graduate, they kind of fall away from God and church and whatnot. Or some people get involved in a great church and they move to a different city and they just can't find another church like that one. And what I would say to that is those are environmental relationships, right? Your relationship with God is only as strong as when you're connected to the group. And it's really important that we meet God alone. Wrestling is a very personal relationship. That's how Jacob meets God. And we must be committed to God and to a personal relationship with him, and not just committed to the group. And I think what God was trying to say to Jacob was, Jacob, you just don't understand that all your life you've been fighting Esau. What you've really been doing is fighting me. You've been wrestling me. And the second thing that's important there is that even though Jacob loses the match, he wins the blessing. Jacob learned that he alone could live with just God alone. But that does kind of bring up the question, how could God let a human being beat him in a wrestling match, right? The reason that God does that is because he made a covenant with Jacob. And you know, many times in the Old Testament, whenever you made a covenant with someone, you would put your hand on your thigh. I think it's important that God touches Jacob's hip. I think that's reminiscent of one way that they formed covenants. And the reason, the symbolism behind putting your hand on someone's thigh is that it represented legacy. It represented their future, that reproductive process into the future. And I think what the angel is saying to Jacob there is, I swear to you on your future descendants that you are going to be blessed. And I think what God is saying is, you know, Jacob, I can smite you a little. I can just touch your hip because I will utterly smite one of your descendants in your place. His name there being changed to Israel is a reminder to me of Luke chapter 1, verse 16, where the angel Gabriel says to Mary, he will turn the hearts of the children of Israel. That's the legacy of Jacob. See, that's God keeping the promise that he made to Jacob. And, you know, the Old Testament says about Jesus that he was stricken by God and smitten in our place. So what does that mean for us? That means we can stop relying on counterfeit blessings. We can stop relying on the group, right? And we learn that he alone is God alone. He's enough for us. And there are going to come moments when you wrestle with him. A God who never contradicts you is like an imaginary friend. That's all it really is. There should be times when we have to bend our will to God's will. So let me pray for you as we head into today. God, thank you for the reminder from Jacob's life that you're going to cross us. You're going to contradict us. And that's good for our souls. It's a reminder to us that you are God and we are not. And so, God, we surrender our hearts and lives to you today, just like Jacob did. We don't rely on our own understanding, but in all our ways, God, our desire is to acknowledge you. Why don't you take a minute now and pray specifically about things that are going to come up in your life today. Maybe you've got some appointments. Maybe you know you have to have some conversations today that you're going to have to acknowledge all of God's ways and be reliant on his wisdom and not your own. Well, once again, thanks for joining us for the LifePoint Drivecast. I hope you have a great week, and please take the opportunity to come back and join us again tomorrow.